place to go if you want to learn the parables that Jesus taught. Matthew 13. I want us all to rise as we read the scripture. Matthew 13:44, it says this: "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Please be seated. So here we have an opportunity to be able to consider what Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is both teaching us something that will come in the future when the kingdom of God is completely on earth, right? But also teaching us about the nature of the kingdom in which we live today as Christians, right? So, let's start with a thought experiment. Let's say you're into computers or whatever, or you just ended up in a thrift shop or a place where they buy used stuff, and you just went through stuff, and like you just saw this computer that you like with your parents, and you're like, you look at it, it's like $20. Ah, it's definitely worth $20. I'll do something with this. You take it. And your parents buy it for you. And then you get home, start up the computer. It's an old computer, so you're not expecting much. You're just trying to look around. And then there's like, the whole thing is intact. There's files on it, and it's open. There is no password, passcodes, and everything. So you can see all the files that the previous person has. And then, to your surprise, you find that there is some crypto in it. And to your surprise, you find that this old computer has 10,000 bitcoins in it. So don't be surprised. With each bitcoin costing $80, $90, $100,000 now, you can easily do the math. That's $1 billion almost, if not more. What would be your reaction? First of all, definitely worth $20, right? Second of all, even your imagination will grow wild. By the way, 10,000 Bitcoin is like what a guy used to buy two pizzas at some point in the Bitcoin history, right? Before any transactions were possible. So it is possible to find that much all at once. That's basically what Jesus is saying in these two parables. That's the image I want you to hold. Just your brain fires and it's like, what am I going to do next? Like, what am I going to buy? What kind of change is going to happen to my life? What things am I going to, like, what am I even going to speak like? Who am I going to be friends with? Where am I going to move? Maybe even your next idea. Like, what is my future going to be like? Do I have to really go to college now that I'm a billionaire? Like, all of that changes all of a sudden. Imagine knowing this before you buy the computer. Finding out this truth at the thrift shop. Nobody else knows. It's up to you. There's no one to clean that computer. It's free, like fair and square. As long as you buy it, it's yours. The first thing you would do would be make sure to buy it as soon as possible. And even if they told you it will cost $1,000, now you're willing to pay for it. If you had like, I don't know, $50 and they told you it cost like $150, you might end up trying to secure the other 100 to get it. Because why? Whatever you lose now, you don't even try to keep your cool. Like, you might try your best, but you might not even be able to keep your cool because of how much this thing matters to you. If you feel like, dude, I thought we were gonna go through the scripture. Why are we talking about money? Like, doesn't that seem unspiritual, worldly? Why do you care about it? Why do you give us this kind of image? I don't give you this kind of image. Jesus is the one who uses imagery like money or treasure to show us what the spiritual nature of the kingdom of God is like. So, the first thing I want us to see in 44 and 45 is this idea all the way through 46. The first way Jesus depicts the kingdom of heaven, what it is like, is a hidden treasure. Right? In our case, in the example that we took, a hidden treasure would look like you know about what's inside the computer, nobody else knows. So it's hidden in plain sight, basically. But you know information that there's something in it. So in ancient times, Jesus talks about how this treasure was buried in the ground. So in ancient times, people used to put their money in the ground, any treasures in the ground, because there were no banks. And even though there were places where people put their money, unless you have a huge amount of money, you don't even trust those places where you can put money. So the best thing to do in human society when you don't have banks is like bury your money and treasure and everything that you value, that if anybody sees it, they could steal it, take it, or you know, claim it as their own. So that's the way it happened, right? So the man who found this treasure of this great worth was not the kind of man who was looking for a treasure, right? He just stumbled upon it. Just like in our example, if you went out just browsing and you found this amazing treasure and you'd be like, oh wow, I gotta buy this, you wouldn't be looking for it. So Jesus puts it like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Right? Like, if you found a computer worth that much in a thrift shop, the first question to ask is, why would the owner give it up? Right? Well, because either the person didn't think it was worth much and they gave it up and they lost track of it and it's gone for them. Or because the owner is not around anymore. He knows the secret. Nobody knows the secret. You know what I mean? For one reason or the other, the owner is not there. Whatever the reason is, they gave it up not because they thought it was a treasure they were throwing away. It's because they thought either it's worthless or they were not capable of getting back to it once they found out its worth. But that works for markets in this world. Some things don't have value until they do, like Bitcoin. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, it's always had worth. It's just a matter of if people can recognize the worth of the kingdom of heaven or not. So the key truth in that parable is the kingdom of heaven is worth infinitely more than all the treasures in the world. everything combined. And only our God, who is a sovereign God, can reveal that kingdom to us as He desires. So it's not based on whether we were looking really hard to find this treasure, that God gives us the treasure, but it's based on God's sovereign will that He gives us this treasure. To bring it down to everyday life language, this treasure that we're talking about is the kingdom of heaven, right? And the kingdom of heaven, translated, means God's reign, God's rule, God's kingdom, right? So there is a king to that kingdom. So the king is more important than the kingdom itself. That's why the entire kingdom is subject to the king. So we're talking about God's rule over life. And we're talking about, if we're talking about what is the treasure in the kingdom of heaven, the treasure or the most valuable person in the kingdom of heaven is the King of heaven, who is God. So Matthew 6:33 says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you." There is a picture in which the kingdom of heaven is so much valuable, it's worth seeking as the most important thing with your life. When you wake up tomorrow, there are a lot of things that are important that you need to do. Starting from brushing your teeth, taking care of your schoolwork, whatever is important in your life, you got to take care of, right? I'm saying, or the kingdom of heaven is depicted in the scriptures as, the only thing that is important in your life is the kingdom of heaven. The only thing that is important in your life, the primary thing that's important, the only thing you should with all of your heart pursue is God's rule over your life. Relationship with God, obeying God, or seeking the righteousness that God gives. That's the only thing you should focus on. If you're finding it hard to follow, it's okay. But for everyone that's following, I'm speaking to the person who's listening. Don't be distracted by anything. So Jesus says, all the things that you worry about, what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, whether you're going to look good wearing something, don't worry about it. Who to be friends with, influences, whatever, don't worry about it. First, seek the kingdom of God, this most valuable treasure in this life and in the life to come. In fact, if you think of eternity, have you asked the question, okay, 100 years, I can imagine keeping myself content in a perfect world for 100 years. Okay, let me give you 300 years. You'll be fine. You can enjoy life. What are you going to do like 1,000 years later? How about 10,000? How about 1,000,000 years later? How about 1,000,000,000,000 years later? Are you going to be miserable because it's just too long? There's nothing to do at that point. There's nothing new. Is that what you're worried about? Well, the reason why that's not going to happen is because the kingdom of heaven is a treasure beyond your imagination, that everything is going to be fresh every second of the day. There is going to be something that will really, truly, from your heart, going to want to make you live forever. And at the center of that is God and Him being revealed to us one day at a time. So Jesus says, don't imagine anything else. Seek the kingdom now and forever. The kingdom of God is the only thing that's going to make you, That's going to fulfill your heart's desire. The kingdom of God is the only thing that's going to be new and interesting all the time and growing, and how interesting it is. The more you mature, the more you grow, the more you know, the more it opens up into something bigger than you can ever imagine. That's because that's the nature of God. Or Romans 3:11 says, no one understands, no one seeks for God, yet in His grace, Jesus is teaching us, God reveals Himself to those who He has chosen. So we're talking about whatever you think is valuable in this world, you're just getting by. You're at the level of subsistence, basically. Or let me put it this way. If you've never, as a Christian, experienced this experience of when you found Christ, everything else faded into the background. When you found Christ, He became the most important person in your life. When you found Christ, everything you believe about life changed. When you found Christ, the reason why you live changed. When you found Christ, there was a value that you see in Christ that you do not have in anybody else. Simply put, your parents love you, for example. You can imagine the person that loves you the most, right? Now ask the question, how much do they know you? Really? Like the moments that you're not proud of. The moments when you're at school or they don't see you or whatever. Do they know you that well? They don't, right? You can imagine some of the stuff, you could be like, they can forgive me, they can understand. But even with small stuff, they don't understand. Right? Well, imagine a God who sees it all, who's infinitely holy, who sees how horrible our sins are, and still loves you. That's the treasure that Christ is. Not only does He love you, He chooses to sacrifice Himself on our behalf to actually give us life, to actually free us from tyranny under sin, to actually free us into a hopeful, joyful, and eternally unending life, a life full of joy and freedom and growth and excitement that never ends. So this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is telling us, the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure. It's the most valuable thing you can ever imagine. The second thing Jesus is saying is the kingdom of heaven can also be represented as a great pearl in the second example, in the second parable. The parable shifts our focus from a regular person who stumbles upon, just like any one of us who stumbles upon a valuable treasure, to a merchant who is in that profession of finding out great treasures. And he finds this amazing pearl of great value. Unlike the man in the field, he knew what he was looking for, and he just hadn't found it. So this is the person who was like looking for the kingdom of heaven. The first person, you can depict it as most of you guys came from Christian homes, right? So before you even were able to speak the words to ask, what is the purpose of life? Like, what am I supposed to do on earth? Who, like, why am I here? How am I here? What's going on? You are already told God created you. You are already told you are here for a purpose. You are living for the glory of God. You have this faith called Christianity, and it's going to have an eternal life attached to it on the other side. And then you might have been like, oh yeah, that all sounds nice, but that's Sunday school. But God pursued you over and over and over and over again until you saw the treasure that Jesus really is. Right? Because the answer in every Sunday school question is like, Jesus, right? You might have been like, ah, this is boring, it's just humdrum. But then eventually you'd be like, Jesus. Jesus is the answer. He is the greatest treasure. He's the most important person in the world, both in the form of Jesus created everything. He owns everything, including me, but also in the form of He is my Savior. He died for me. He loves me despite my brokenness. That's the child who grows up in a Christian home and may not take their faith seriously, but eventually the Lord opens their eyes to the value of the treasure they've been offered from day one in their lives. If you grew up in a Christian home from day one when you were born all the way to now, you've been walking in privilege after privilege after privilege because they've been praying about you before you were born. They're praying for you now. They're going to keep praying for you whether you decide to be faithful to the Lord or not. Ups and downs. They understand the concept of, they don't see you as like a bunch of sinners. They see you as saints. They see you as people just like them who are saved by the blood of Christ, and they need help. They need support. They need love. No matter what they do, they can be loved. That's what Jesus did in their lives. You get that treasure. You may not value it, but that's what's given to you. So this is the person that's not seeking. But the person that is seeking is, that person is in the world. That person is pursuing success. That person is pursuing what makes them happy. That person is pursuing relationships. That person is pursuing money. That person is pursuing influence. That person is pursuing everything and anything that the world says is going to give you joy and contentment and fullness of life, success, whatever they may call it. That person is pursuing, and this is the funny part, this person is so diligent, so capable. They got the money, they got the influence, they got the connections, they got everything that the world says they got, they need to get. And this person really knows there's emptiness in all those things. This is not a person who's like, I tried and one day when I get there, I'll be happy. This is not that person. This is the professional merchant who already buys pearls, who's capable already. And is looking for, all of this stuff is empty. I need something bigger. What is bigger? This is the person usually who didn't even grow up in a Christian home. This is the person usually who didn't even hear Jesus' name mentioned in their lifetime. This is the person usually who thought religion was like, you know, some like crutch for people who are emotionally struggling or something. This is the person who was turned off from Christ from day one, who didn't have the privilege to know Christ. And the first day they hear the gospel, they see the value. The first day they see Christ, they cannot believe this treasure of great worth was available. It's real. And they already know He's worth giving up everything. This is the person who came like a very bad lifestyle or, I don't know, an empty lifestyle, even though they're successful and they're morally good. And they just give it all up. I've seen this happen over and over and over again. People living their friendships, people living their riches, people leaving their old lifestyle that everybody thought made them look cool or whatever. So it's like that, this pearl of great value. When this person finally discovers the pearl of this extraordinary value, he didn't hesitate. He sold everything he has to make it his own in this parable. So the truth that we need to contend with is this salvation, which is the work of God, and those who are drawn to Christ recognize that He alone satisfies the deepest longing of the soul. Whether you come from a Christian family, or whether you came through the path in which you were pursuing everything else and nothing was satisfying you, if you are a Christian, at some point, Christ must have paused you and you'd be like, I can't believe that God who created all things is this incredible, this amazing, this valuable. In fact, it's not just seeing how valuable he is, it's realizing everything that I have been doing that is contrary, that goes against this God, I want to sell. And everything that I had that was even good, I want to give up in order to have him, to have a relationship with him, in order to start afresh in this new life. Jeremiah says, you will seek me. That's Jeremiah 29:13. And find me when you seek me with all your heart. Or John 6, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Many pursuing many meaning in relationships, success or approval, but these things cannot satisfy, spoiler alert. Your life is going to be one disappointment after another if you think, when I get that job, I'm going to be happy. If I did this activity, I'm going to be happy. When we watch the Super Bowl later on, I'm going to be so excited. It's going to be amazing. You're going to be the same old person 2 minutes later. If not disappointed, maybe. If you're happy, it's going to last 10 minutes. Same old Super Bowl that has been happening over and over and over again throughout your lifetime. There's nothing new there. A couple of teams are going to go against one another. One is going to win, the other one's going to lose. That's it. It all boils down to that. So, only Christ, and in Christ do we find fulfillment. Only in Christ can you encounter Christ. And if you see him as the treasure that he really is, it's not going to fade off 10 minutes later. It's not going to even fade off in eternity. It's actually going to grow. Whoever drinks of the living water that I give, Jesus says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. It's Jesus, knowing Jesus, getting to know Jesus, meeting Jesus is not something that starts and fades. It's actually something that strikes us like a match, and it grows and it grows and it grows until it becomes a blazing fire into eternity that keeps growing in our heart. So, have you been drawn to Christ that way? Have you? Is talking to your friends more exciting right now than listening to the words of the living God? Is like the last minute of the sermon so exciting for you so you can leave and do the thing that you love the most? Are you zoned out thinking about something that you love so much that you don't get to do right now? Or have you encountered Christ in such a way that he's the most valuable person in your life? He's the most valuable thing in your life? It's not even at church. You give up those things that you love even at home or with friends. When everybody's doing some exciting activity at school or in your time with your friends, whatever, call it sleepover, whatever. You decide, no, I'm sorry. I need time alone with Christ. Is that you? When everybody's like pretending like this life is nothing but just one exciting enjoyment after another, do you stand and say, no, like I gotta represent my Lord. I'm a Christian. This life is not about whatever the world says it's about. It's about being a believer, a true person, a human being created to show the image of God, a human being who has heard the good news, who has met Christ, who cannot wait for other people to meet Christ through them. I'm not asking these questions to say you have responsibilities and roles to play and you must play them and you must grow up and you got to do this. No, you cannot do anything for God. He will do it all by himself. He doesn't need any one of us. I'm telling you, unless you're living your life that way, your life is super boring. I can tell you already. Your life is like a dead end after a dead end. Your life is going to be dissatisfaction after dissatisfaction. Your life is going to be confusing. You don't even know what you're doing with your life. Give it a little bit of time. But if you do see the treasure that Christ is and you pursue him with all of your heart and you grow up out of what this world says is what makes you a grown up into the real grown up that you should be as a believer, whatever your age is, then Jesus is telling you, your life will open up with meaning. Your life will open up with value. Your life will be even used to present other people this great treasure that Christ is. And your life will impact every person you talk to, whether you have 5 minutes with them or 25, or an entire life to spend with that person. In every way imaginable. This is the pearl of great value. That if you really were a very meticulous, a very successful, a very intelligent person, and you looked for the treasures in the entire universe, and you were the kind of person who's like, I'm not going to settle for small stuff, like small time, small stuff. I'm going to only pursue the greatest, valuable, most important thing in the universe. This is where you're going to end up. With all the success, with all the privilege, with all the money, with all the intelligence, with all your pursuits, with all the power that you may have, Christ is going to be the most valuable one you can have. And this is the thing. If you get to that place where you have the money, the influence, the intellect, and everything, you see Christ and you think he's more valuable, you can't bring all of that possibly trash in the kingdom of heaven. You have to give it all up, sell it in order to gain Christ. You have to give up making your friendships the most important thing and instead give up whatever doesn't work for Christ and keep the ones that align or submit to Christ in your life. You can't bring all of the money. Who knows how you made that money? Who knows how anybody makes money in this world if it's not pleasing in the sight of God? The same way Zacchaeus did, right? He was a tax collector. He was an extortioner. He took bribes. He did so many. So the first thing he had to do is, every sinful gain that I've had, I'm going to give up. That's what Jesus is saying. This treasure is not just worth great, and it's not available to us by the grace of God. This treasure requires, if you have one thing in your hand, you can't hold this treasure. If your heart is in love with anything else, there's not room enough for Christ. If your loyalty is to anything else first, if you're not first seeking the kingdom of God and the king of that kingdom, Christ doesn't settle for a junk-filled heart. He can remove that junk. He can remove that trash in our lives. He can remove whatever we call treasure in the world to give us the true treasure we should have. But he's not gonna be a roommate in your heart with all those stuff that you might hold. So as Christians, we need to ask, what do I love, and does it align with Christ? Does it submit to Christ? Right? By the way, whoever's excited about the Super Bowl, I'm with you. Like, I don't watch it, but I understand. Right? I really do. But if it's more exciting than worshiping Christ, if it's more exciting than prayer, if it's more exciting than submitting your life to Christ, just like it is in the world, right? Like today, what's going to happen? People are going to paint themselves. People are going to wear clothing that represent their team. People are going to line up for hours and hours. People are going to get in the stadium. They're going to shout to the top of their lungs. People are going to be sitting everywhere watching over big screen TVs, paying for pay-per-view or whatever it is that you pay to watch. People are going to spend money. People are going to be excited. People are going to spend their time. People are going to endure pain today, like the lining up or like it being in the cold. And at the same time, be excited and shout at the top of their lungs. What does that sound like to you? Doesn't that sound like worship? Doesn't? I mean, if that's you, and you come to church, you're fired up, you go to your room, you're like kneeling down and praying with joy. If you are here singing along, if you're excited about the word of God that God is about to tell you, if you're the kind of person who applies the truth God teaches us into your life, props to you. And if you watching the Super Bowl is a lot more less than your worship of Christ, great, right? Like if you'd be like, the Super Bowl is great, but I could miss it. It doesn't matter. I cannot miss my time with Christ. If you're that person, which I hope and believe most of you are, great. But if you're not, come back, repent. And in the place of the Super Bowl, whoever you are, put whatever excites you, whatever looks like worship in your life. If it's greater treasure in your life, greater excitement than Christ, and worshiping Him, and serving Him, and living with Him, and trying to get to know Him, and fellowshipping with those who are followers of Christ called Christians, then you need to reset your priorities and make Christ your number one priority. And ultimately, Jesus talks about the cost of the kingdom. And I've already mentioned it. The cost of the kingdom is you sell everything you have that seems to exalt itself above Christ in your life. If it's, like I said, an activity you love doing and you don't have time both for that activity and Christ, you need to give it up. You need to give up that activity so that you can do what Christ wants you to do in this life, whether it's fellowshipping with brothers and sisters, whether it's going to work and doing a decent job, whether it's going to school and doing a good job in your school, whether it's obeying your parents, whether it's like being a holy person, whatever it takes, that the new life that Christ has given us, you need to give it any activity, any valuable thing in your life, you need to give it up if it contradicts or takes away your money or resources from worshiping Christ. Luke 9 says this, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Philippians 3, what we read earlier, says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by grace, by rich, rich grace. You have been saved. Because the debt of our sin was so bad, this treasure is the payment that we need to pay off our debt before we enter the kingdom. And this treasure is the treasure that we need to sustain our lives forever. And this treasure is the deepest treasure in the world that will never be exhausted, because it is Christ that is going to give us hope for eternal life, joy in eternal life, meaning in eternal life. So we give up everything, whether you call it success, whether it's decent, whether it's sin. Of course, if it's sinful, you got to give it up. Whatever it is, You got to give up everything and first focus on Christ. First meet Christ. First buy this treasure that Christ is. First give the first waking hours of your day to Christ. First give the strongest energetic moment of your life for Christ. You'd be like, oh, I got a lot of energy. I'm going to go out and do something. No, you got a lot of energy? Kneel down and pray. You got a lot of energy? Open the Bible and read. You got a lot of energy? Invest time and effort to fellowship with brothers and sisters and to grow in the faith. You got a lot of energy and you want to go out? Go out. Take the gospel. Take what Christ has done for you. Meet people and tell them about your transformed life. You have a lot of energy? Go out and serve people randomly. Love them. Do something for them so that they might see Christ in you. You got a lot of energy? Prepare. How do I share the gospel with people? How do I figure this out? Sit down, research, learn, grow. You got a lot of energy? Use it to serve Christ, to worship Christ. On the other side of that effort, I promise you, you can come. You can ask me for any type of compensation. I'll pay for it. If you feel like I was let down, I invested in Christ and He let me down. I am not satisfied. I'm not fulfilled. He's not worth as much as I thought He was worth. I'll pay any compensation. The Lord will help me. Any compensation for your loss. But if you do encounter Christ, the only thing you're going to say is, I can't believe I've been wasting my time with all that garbage when I could have been pursuing Christ from long ago. You will see the treasure that He is. And finally, the one thing you might have missed in the parable of the hidden treasure, this person not only sells all that he has, it says, then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, doesn't tell anybody about the treasure, buys the field so that he can own the treasure. So you might have missed that idea of, you don't just sell, like, I love my console, but you know what? Christ is forcing me to give it up. When Peter and James and John were fishing, and Andrew, his brother, were fishing, Jesus didn't come to them and say, you need to give up your life, and I'm going to force you to stop fishing, and I want you to follow me. That's not what He said to them. He did a miracle in front of them. They saw it. The first thing they realized is, Lord, I'm a sinful person. Stay away from me. What Jesus told them is, don't be afraid. I'm not here to judge you, basically, right? I'm here to save you. Not only to save you, He says to him what? I'm here not only to forgive you, but to make you fishers of men. I'm here to change your life. I'm here to change your profession. I'm here to change your identity. I'm here to cleanse you and make you a means to share this good news with others. So Simon was like, yeah, what am I going to do about the fish that we just caught? Or what am I going to do about my business? What am I going to do about, like, my friends? How am I? They immediately left everything and followed him. He just said, follow me. He didn't force them to do anything. They gave up everything because they see how valuable he is. So there's joy. There's just ease. There's simplicity. If you're gripping to something that's keeping you from Christ, if you're gripping your phone, it's because you don't know what Christ looks like. It's because you are not finding this joy. And my prayer for anybody who's holding on to something else as more valuable is that God may open your eyes. That God may replace the fleeting pleasures that this world offers you, like entertainment or immorality or this activity that if you do it, you'll be awesome. Or this group of friends that are so valuable, you want to impress them, you lose yourself in trying to do so. whatever it is, I pray that Jesus replaces it with the joy of seeing how valuable and amazing he is. Let me bring you back to the first picture that I gave you. If you found 10,000 Bitcoin in a computer, you'd be like, ugh, this is exhausting. Is that how you're going to respond? Ugh, this means like I'm going to have to go to the bank and get a ton of money. Is that how you're going to feel? Ugh, this feels like, you know what? I got to give up all the stuff that I own that's cheap and replace it with expensive stuff or with everything that I like. Is that how you're going to feel? You think that's how you're going to feel? Before you even do anything about it, the very fact that you have this treasure in your possession is going to, you might dance, you might run, you might scream, you might try to hide it from everybody so nobody takes it away from you. Whatever it is, it's an action of joy that is going to come from your life or from you. It's an act of worship. It's an act of valuing that treasure that's going to be in your heart. You know why? Because you know why Jesus uses money to show us what the kingdom is going to look like? It's not because, I mean, Jesus is perfect. He's not worldly. It's because he knows we treasure money. Money is capable of giving us the privilege of services and goods unlimitedly in this world. We know the value of money. If I talk about $1 million, you would know what to do with it. If I talk about how valuable the kingdom of heaven is, you need to learn what to do with the kingdom of heaven. So I've said it before too. So Jesus goes into this joy that this person is going to have to sell everything in that joy and buy this treasure. This person doesn't feel let down. This person, it doesn't feel like, oh, it's a burden. I got to sell everything I have. Are you sure I got to sell it? Are you sure I got to give up like the amount of time I spend on my phone? Are you sure I got to walk away from my friends? Like, what's wrong with it if I dress this way? Like, what's wrong with it if I do this activity? That's how we talk, right? That's not the way this person is. This person is like, I'm so joyful to see this treasure. I really don't even want other people to find out and take it away from me. I want to secure it. I'm going to give up everything that I got joyfully because the treasure I'm getting here is much more worth than the old one. This is not joy that you produce in yourself. This is joy that overflows in your heart and in your life because of how valuable Jesus is when you actually truly see him as he really is. So following Jesus is not a duty or a burden. It's a privilege. When you truly grasp the value of knowing him, surrendering to him isn't a sacrifice. It's an exchange of temporal things for eternal joy and freedom and life. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. If you went on an amazing adventure, if money was no object, you can imagine doing so many activities. Well, the psalmist here is saying, those don't hold a candle to the joy that lasts forever that we can find in the presence of God, that God gives. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. The life that we live here, the things that we will give up for the kingdom of heaven, the things that we will give up to hold on to Jesus are not worth anything compared to what we're going to find in eternity. Even the sufferings that we go through. When people realize you're a Christian, seriously, I don't deal with Christians. Or Christians are like close-minded. If you're okay with that, you're willing to be, yeah, like I disagree, but it's fine. friends walking away or people hating you or things happening to you, if you're okay with that, there is an eternal weight of glory that you will receive for that suffering that you go through, for that separation, for the things that you lose. If you're trying to keep your friends while having Christ, you can't. If people that are your friends hate Christ and you are claiming you're a Christian and you love Christ and you're just hiding Christ to be with those people who hate Christ, it's because you need to see how seriously valuable Jesus is, and you need to realize He doesn't compromise in your choice of either your friends or Christ in that situation. So if you really understand even the suffering of being separated from your friends because they hate Christ, because they think religion is dumb, or whatever the reason is, whatever you lose on earth, there is an eternal reward for it in heaven. And when you do that with your friends, they have the best chance of receiving Christ through your life. You have the greatest chance of sharing with them the gospel of God when you separate from them and tell them, no, Christ is more valuable than even friendship. If you have to make me pick between Christ and you, I'll pick Christ every time. That is the best way they can hear the gospel through your life. So in conclusion, what do these parables teach us? The kingdom of heaven is worth more than anything else in this world. Whether you stumble upon it unexpectedly, whether you grew up in a Christian home and you have been learning Christ from day one and eventually He opened your eyes, whether you still haven't seen Him as a treasure up to this point, and today you stumble upon Him, or search for Him your whole life, the response has to be the same thing. Not only is Jesus the treasure, the greatest treasure we could ever have, the unending, all-satisfying, that the Christ you can live with forever and your life will be full of life and joy, but He requires that you give up everything to gain Christ. In other words, He is your number one priority. He is the most valuable thing in the world, the most valuable person in the universe, that giving up everything else is like dirt cheap. So the scriptures put it this way, and we will close here. Matthew 16:26. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Ephesians 13:4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. If you haven't seen the word of Christ, respond with faith as a Christian. If you're not a believer yet, respond with faith to what the scripture is saying in this place. If you're living double lives, respond with faith and give up the life that's contrary to the faith that you have. Turn from everything that holds you back and embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior. And more importantly, expect to do that, not forced. Expect not to feel like, oh, I'm going to give up that thing. But expect to find joy as your power when you give up these things. Expect it to be, whoa, what happened to this person? The last day I saw them, they were just like us. All of a sudden, they're serious about this Jesus business. Expect that to happen, not because you're like some kind of religious robot, but because your life is full of joy. You don't need anything external other than Christ to be happy, to be full of life. You don't need friends. You don't need money. You don't need your consoles. You don't need the Super Bowl. You don't need anything if it comes down between a choice between Christ and anything else combined. What does it profit a person if they gain the entire world as their own possession and lose their soul, is what Jesus says. Jesus is here to rescue our souls and to give us a rich, eternal, unending, joyful life in Himself. Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful that You are our God, and we